If it's all night long, mama love. If it's all night long. If it's all night long, mama love. If it's all night long. You can hitch up my pony, mama. Sell my black man. You'll find me riding mama long in the woods somewhere. If it's all night long, if it's all night, if it's all night long, mama long, if it's all night long.
I think William was about to go into a comparison of some synchro mystic themed talk shows.
Oh yeah.
No, I was going to compliment. I think people get more out of Always Record than they do. The deep sea kids, I think, enjoy Always Record more. Would you guys agree with that?
No, I don't. I think they both serve a really interesting function.
They serve two different functions.
Yeah, they
though,
serve
for
two
sure.
different functions. Exactly. Yeah.
But I always have. I was just complaining because I have to study. This is like the first. This is the first time that I don't have to be like prepared.
We're kind of laid back in that way.
Yeah, maybe we should prepare a little more sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes.
No, I rarely. I haven't listened to the newest episode because for some reason I can't download it. But I never miss Always Record. I enjoy the hell out of Always Record.
Cool. I love me some 42 minutes.
Same here. I never miss a 42 minutes.
Good. I'm glad. Yeah. I'm glad
well,
you guys
I've missed
said
a
that.
Few Always Records and I've missed a few 42 minutes. But I love them when I'm there.
I don't always record. But when I do,
I always record.
Alright, so what did I want to talk about? Oh, I want to talk about refrigerators.
Alright.
That's like how John Susa, like,
I know, and I love that bastard for that. I want to know about this John Susa guy, man. I want to have him on 42 minutes with his actress friend.
And, it's so funny. I was listening to the first hour you guys did with him, and I like how you guys just go off rambling about some like other alien pubic hair, and then he just goes, "All right, you know, listen, I'm the fucking guest here. You know what I want to talk about? I want to talk about refrigerators."
But no, because that was like massively important. I did the same thing that guy did. I was like sitting there yelling at my MP3 player because he's absolutely right, and I highlighted that in my plant consciousness video, that the symbolism of the Iceman or being refrigerated, it seems to me to relay correspondence to beating time or preserving, and there's three different ones or three different examples of the same symbolism. That's mummification, being frozen, or well, I want to say time traveling, but
well,
that's not.
Don't forget when you meditate, you're ideally looking to get into a state of complete paralysis, and that's why lotus posture is considered so important. Is because when you reach the higher states of samadhi, right, your body is just go like it clenches up, and if you're not in the proper posture, you're supposed to fall straight back. That's all. Either you lay down meditating or you sit in full lotus. That's why.
The Tin Man is also the third one. Excuse me. Mummification, Iceman, and Tin Man. The Tin Man is the preservation of life through technology. But what you said is what you said about the lotus position made me think of that, because it's meditation and bringing it down into the heart, and it has the
There's also, you could take that from the physics angle, because what makes heat is movement, right? It's friction and movement. So the slower a molecule moves, the colder it is, or the colder it is, the slower the molecule moves. So you have this idea of, if you're trying to come to a complete stillness in meditation, you would be getting colder.
The one who stills themselves creates more energy or more orgone. When building up of energy through stasis. It's interesting because that's one of the main topics in Divine Evasion, again, too, by Philip K. Dick. I mean, the guy's never certain if he's not in cryogenic stasis the whole entire time. Like, he's just in a tube somewhere listening to music on his earphones.
But really? That's cool. The whole premise? I never looked
well,
at that.
Well, that's part. He is and he isn't. He is, because when things get bad, when he starts interpreting things in a negative light, he starts convincing himself that he hasn't woken up from stasis yet.
Okay. See, and this is really interesting. Okay. Go ahead. Sorry.
No.
The correspondence, I've been wanting to read that for a long time, and I keep forgetting to go and find myself a copy because I keep equating it with Jupiter and Beyond the Infinite, like, really quickly, especially just that cover with the baby in space. I mean, that's just like, what do you think of when you look at that? But you had mentioned the Tin Man with the heart, and, you know, obviously he needs a heart, but I love the what happens when you flip the Jupiter symbol, which everyone's so fascinated with in this community of the 42, right? The amalgamation of the four and the two, of when you flip them towards each other, if you mirror that image against itself, how you get that the heart shape. And I find it really interesting, right, that the Pink Floyd album that has Echoes, Metal, the album that goes in sync with Jupiter and Beyond the Infinite, that if you take the cover to that album, turn it and mirror it against itself, you can create a butterfly. Which I just included in a recent collage I was working on. But I love that it just so happens that you have Jupiter and Beyond the Infinite, and you flip it, you get that heart, you flip the cover, you get a butterfly. Like,
well, the butterfly has a lot to do with both of them, too. I mean, the heart and the butterfly. I guess if you superimpose a heart, it's a butterfly as well. If you, like,
I would say the butterfly is, to an extent, the butterfly is the brain, because if you look at, like, an MRI of the brain, it essentially looks like a butterfly.
The symmetry.
Yeah, exactly. But even speaking of Philip K. Dick and all this, and being in stasis in
the pineal gland would be the total recall.
Total Recall, as when he sees the commercial for Total Recall services, he sees a butterfly. So, like,
well, he's a butterfly in that Batman and Robin too. He jumps out of that plane and turns into like a Mothman when he's Mr. Freeze.
That's right, Mr. Freeze. There you go. Look at that.
Yeah,
that's some full
in a Total Recall. He releases the ice up underneath the pyramid.
Exactly.
Wow. And then we elect him governor through a Total Recall, which is weird.
And in Terminator 2, in Terminator 2, you have he freezes the T-1000 with
right. He's the Iceman who freezes the right.
Exactly.
That's nice.
And then the T-1000 is Mercury. So you have like this interplay. If we're associating him with Jupiter, then you have the interplay of Mercury and Jupiter in the alchemical sense. And so, of course, no matter what you do to Mercury, it always finds a way to come back together, which is the whole meaning of the thing, that you separate, coagulate, and reunite, and they display it very well in T2.
Let's go back to Joe Alexander. The first time that the DeLorean goes through time, it screeches to a halt. Doc goes up to touch it, and he draws back his hand in a gasp. And Marty McFly goes, What is it, hot? And he goes, no, ice cold.
Yeah.
Also, also the Frighteners. Have you ever seen the Frighteners with Michael J. Fox? He's frozen, remember? So he can beat death and go into the land of the spirits.
Well, that's how he does it in the first place. I'm trying to remember that movie. I think I saw it in the theater.
He gets into
when it
a freezer. He gets into a freezer to lower his heart rate so he can survive, but die and fight the people as spirits. Because remember, he can see the dead the whole time. It's beating time.
I remember Michael J. Fox was in Flatliners.
Not Flatliners. Did I say Flatliners?
I'm making a joke.
That's a good point, though, because you have Kiefer Sutherland.
Right.
You know, well, the Jupiter
freeze,
and the ice.
What they do is they freeze themselves, lower their heart rates, they go into the spirit realm.
Cryogenic, yeah. Yeah, exactly. But also in Back to the Future 3, when he goes back to the cowboys and he goes into Doc, and Doc has made this elaborate machine. And the machine's rumbling and tumbling, and what does it do? It spits out a cube of ice.
And what is he drinking? the third member of our Three Kings movie.
Jack Daniels.
No. Mark Marr, George Clooney, and...
Ice Cube.
Yeah.
Chill.
That's all I got. I'm out.
That's great. Good night.
Wow.
6 degrees of Ice Cube.
Oh, that's the thing. So Kevin Bacon is on that show Bored to Death with Jason Schwartzman. And so if you want to bring the Kevin Bacon game into it, everything
Kevin
leaves.
Kevin Bacon's in Flatliners.
He's in Flatliners, you're right.
Is he? I don't remember. I remember Keith Glenn, but
Kevin Bacon is actually the one who figures out how to break the curse in Flatliners.
Oh, I thought that was Francis Bacon. No, that was Kevin Bacon. You're right.
Julia Roberts. No, wait, that's interesting because you have Kevin Bacon. You have Julia Roberts who has high, like, Jupiter connotations. She's had a whole bunch of sinks that involve Jupiter.
Right. Doesn't the name Julia mean daughter of Jupiter?
Right.
Yes, it does, actually. Which so was Flat really helpful be... with the White Album thing with Rosemary's Baby, but yeah.
Hmm.
Oh, she said like Andrew or Julia.
That's the song is Julia.
When she's getting
pregnant. The Beatles song Julia. I'm not going to do it justice.
You can, David.
No, I don't.
You will.
Hey, you
pull
know what?
It up from inside you, David.
I made that mistake in Sweden in a karaoke bar. Don't sing English songs if you're in Europe. Sing American songs. It's wrong. Get much better response.
Were you in Switzerland on that trip?
No, I was just in Sweden. I have family there.
If you go to Switzerland, you could never come back, I hear.
I thought that was if you go to black.
Wait, but then
Switzerland
how does,
is the new black, David.
But if AC/DC is back in black, presumably they went black, then changed, and then went back again.
Right.
So that throws that whole thing into question. They went black, right. Then went back.
Right. But you got to remember that the AC of AC/DC stands for Aleister Crowley, and DC stands for DC Comics, which produced Batman.
I got another one for you. I think I have a link to your Aleister Crowley thing in Little Miss Sunshine.
Oh, yeah? What do you got?
Okay, so it has to do with Alan Arkin.
Okay.
Because he's like the grandfather. And the link with him is in The Last Unicorn. Because he's the magician who turns Mia Farrow into the unicorn.
Totally. I've tripped out on it. And then also that you have the Big Lebowski in there as well. A number of the names in The Last Unicorn all like relate to Jupiter.
The name of Mia Farrow is this is a tip that I got from Kansa. I was doing a Skype conversation. It might be recorded, but it's not on record. With Kansa one time, and he told me that he was all about The Last Unicorn because the name of Mia Farrow, and I'm doing it injustice right now because I can't remember her freaking name, but her name is Jupiter's mother or whatever.
So I think I've told you, David, and you, Bill, this once before, but when I was a young boy, I mean old enough that I shouldn't have been obsessed with unicorns.
I was obsessed with unicorns too. Is that weird?
Well, I wasn't exactly obsessed with unicorns, but I was obsessed with that movie.
Is that weird? Like,
I was a young boy, and my parents were divorced, and there was a period where I'd see my father every 2 weeks, right? Like I'd see my father for the weekend every 2 weeks, and my father, not knowing how to be a father or do anything. He was like, he had a, you know, that was back when you'd go to the video store. This is before Blockbuster, before anything. And it was like, you paid a lot of money to get a subscription to a video rental store, right? And I don't know if anyone's old enough to remember those days, but basically...
I got you there, Alan. I got you.
Thank you, Bill.
Perusing.
And it was actually incredibly expensive. And so basically he had a thing with this rental place near his apartment, and he tried to maximize that. And what do I do with my kids? I don't know. So every 2 weeks I'd go to my dad's house, and we'd walk over to the rental place, and he'd say, pick a movie to watch. And every fucking time I grabbed The Last Unicorn, and he'd go, why the fuck? We've seen this every 2 weeks. Why are you getting this again? I go, I don't know. I just love this movie. So I watched that movie so many times that it's so ingrained in my head, and I have no idea.
That movie put it together for me. I mean, the one video that I did that didn't come out at all the way I expected it to was Man in the Mirror. And that was all centered around this King Kong, you know, Beauty and the Beast thing that you led me onto, Alan, during that tinfoil hat area conversation.
Oh, King Kong, right?
Right, with the whole King Kong thing.
Now, then, here's something. Here's a little tidbit that you got.
Sorry, John. I don't know why that's happening.
I just revealed the mystery of the universe, and you all
suck.
Oh, come on, dude.
All right, so King Kong, right? And he keeps looking, again, particularly in the 1970 version with Jeff Bridges, our last unicorn magician and so on.
No, he's not the last unicorn magician.
No, he's the good Lear. Magician. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Yes, Prince I'm sorry. Lear. Yeah, thank you.
Prince
yes,
Lear.
Smedrick is...
Smedrick is the magician. Smedrick is the Crowley Moonchild figure.
Yes, yes, yes. I apologize.
He's trying to create the Moonchild.
So anyway, you know where they do the thing where King Kong keeps looking at the tall building and he sees it as his sort of like cliffside home back from his island and shit?
Yeah.
So when he falls off that building, we can view him as falling off the cliff, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. Well,
it works two ways because the guy who falls off the cliff is Christopher Lee as King Haggard.
Mm-hmm.
He falls off a tower too, also in the Two Towers. So
yeah,
you have
that's
the whole
a good point.
King
that's
Kong good. Twin Towers resonance right there.
Well, the Kong is a Chinese word for zero. So essentially, he's the fool. He's the King Fool.
Right.
He's King Zero.
King
so
Zero.
If the Fool card shows the Fool stepping off the cliff, which is essentially what Kong does by following his heart, in a sense, right? If beauty overcomes the beast, he sort of follows
his
heart.
In the 1986, I think it's 86, there was a remake of the King Kong lineage from the Jeff Bridges movie where Linda Hamilton from Terminator fame actually puts a new heart into King Kong. She resurrects King Kong. He lives, and they give him an artificial heart after he falls off.
So he's the fucking Tin Man, too.
He's a Tin Man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
And, of course, Linda Hamilton was in the Beauty and the Beast live-action TV show.
Yes, indeed. It goes way fucking deep. And it all centers around... And then this Theron. You know Charlize Theron. You've mentioned Charlize Theron with Mighty Joe Young, David.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, because it's interesting. You did the Mighty Joe Young thing with the Ferris wheel, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
In the movie Monster, she gets on the Ferris wheel and falls in love with Christina Ricci. And you know Theron is actually how Aleister Crowley used to sign his books.
Yeah, absolutely. Megatheron, yeah.
Right, which
means
beast.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It means beast in Greek.
Right.
So her name is Beast. Theron.
Yeah.
And Theron plays this over and over again in The Devil's Advocate, in another movie she did called The Cider House Rules that all has to do with this Beauty and the Beast apple thing.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Well, she's also in the Snow White and the Huntsman with the apple again.
Right, and the mirror. And the mirror is always in tune with the whole Beauty and the Beast thing.
Isn't she in a movie that's just called something like Monster or something? Or?
Well, yeah, that's what we're talking
saying.
About. And Monster
Ricci.
With Christina Ricci, and she on this, she falls in love with Christina Ricci on a Ferris wheel, and she's talking to Christina Ricci. This is another tip I got from from Katsa. Katsa was like, yeah, she makes a point out of giving the speech about how the Ferris wheel is the monster because everybody's scared of the Ferris wheel.
Okay, okay. Now let's bring this, wait, let's bring this together. Let's bring this back to where we started, David, with the Fame Monster and Metropolis. This is the Tower of Babel. This is the Sun Square. Right?
Totally. Right.
So you're building the Tower of Babel with the Babylonian Sun Square, which is 666, which is Megatherion, all this sort of stuff. So you have this connection between the Fame Monster. Do you get where I'm going with that?
Yeah, but it all has
to do with Fame Monster because at the beginning of the movie, Monster, with Charlize Theron, she's talking about how much she wants to be in movies, how much she wants to be a movie actress. And all of King Kong has to do with him snatching a movie actress. It's a Fame Monster.
Right. Totally. And then he's also... And then it's also, you have Tiferet, right? So basically, the Empire State Building is the Malkuth, which is a Shakina, which is a Scarlet Woman, which is Lady Gaga, who she's portraying. And so Malkuth itself is trying to ascend the tree. The tip of the tower.
Well, see, you're missing this because Malkuth, what is the symbol of Malkuth?
What do you mean the symbol? Oh, it's an X.
An X, right? It's a Ferris wheel. It's a Ferris wheel.
Totally. And it's also the Ferris wheel corresponds to the tenth major arcana of the Wheel of Fortune.
Yacid.
But then you look at the tenth spherot is the Malkuth.
The Wheel of Fortune is the Ferris wheel, yeah.
But Mighty Joe Young gets crushed by the Ferris wheel, but then when you also look at is it Joe Young with the nuclear bomb that was I need to look up my own blog right now to remember.
Will, I know you don't care, but this is why that the subtitle of my book has to do all with the wheel.
The Rota Orta.
Yeah, basically Wheel of Fortune is this huge node that
it's the killing of King.
Cueing into it, exactly.
In Jung's book about alchemy, he makes a very specific... I can't find the passage because that book is so dense, but I remember reading it. Carl Jung, that's very well done.
What's writing that
but
on
he,
the thing?
He makes that point. The stress and the beast have a common secret, and sometimes the beast was seen with an X, a wheel with an X on his... That's the wheel with the X... is the same symbol for the Garden of Eden, where four rivers combine. It's Malkuth.
Right, totally. And so that's what gets sealed up. That's why it's the Shakina, and that's why the Shakina is in exile, is it's a fall, and then it's further falling. But that piece that's the step the builders rejected is the other aspect. So, yeah.
Just might be finally getting this. What the fuck? This is...
See, now go back. After you listen to this, go back and watch my Man in the Mirror video. Just do it.
I've watched it several times. I have it memorized pretty well. I enjoyed it a lot.
Shut up. You're just...
No, Will, it's a great...
No, I'm not, dude.
It
had a big impact on me. I really liked it.
Good, because nobody's ever told me it had an impact on them. I just kind of thought that it got overlooked. Because it's all there. I mean, it's all in there. It's just not all.
The nodes, and so those nodes you can build off of.
Because there's no way you can put it all in there. It's impossible. There's too much to it. But this whole Beauty and the Beast thing fucking freaked me the fuck out. And then when I saw I Heart Huckabees, and of course you have the heart for the Tin Man in the middle of the fucking word. Or the middle of the movie title. And he's trying to be fame too. That movie's all about being fame. Once again, Naomi Watts is like the symbol for fame, trying to make herself the beast.
There's a great line in the director's comments where David O. Russell mentions Schwartzman's mushroom trip of fame, where he touches the sort of psilocybin ecstasy of the possibility of being famous and I'm not capturing it quite as well as it is.
This is cool because the Schwartzman thing is also cool. Okay, so You have Schwartzman in this movie, I Heart Huckabees, but you also have him in, what is that movie with Natalie Portman where they're on the train?
Dejarlene Limited? I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right.
Dejarlene Limited. I'm pretty sure that the girl that's in that movie, I have to... How do you... Okay, so we would look
for... How about Darjeeling Unlimited?
How do you say it?
Darjeeling Unlimited?
Darjeeling. How about okay, in that movie, he lets his snake loose? This is the Kundalini, yep. Right? He has this sure. dangerous snake in a box, and he lets it loose, and that's what gets him thrown off the train.
Okay, so you guys, you don't even know, dude. I was fucking tripping. I was tripping out last night on Marie Antoinette with the other with Born This Way, and it's fucking incredible. It's perfect. Just and it's simple to start it too. It's just as soon as the first song ends. When the song ends, you start the album. But Jason Schwartzman is the guy, and then I won't do it justice, and I'm not going to go into it too deeply. But I'll tell you, like you guys and anyone listening, watch the fucking thing because it's unbelievable, and it's the only way to listen to Lady Gaga. I didn't like Lady Gaga until I discovered that she'd played around with this stuff, and it's pretty incredible. So, and if you want to know the time to start. The Fame Monster and the 80s version of Metropolis, which they've re-released. I'm not sure about the beginning. I think it's around the time when Fritz Lang's name comes up, the creator, as soon as it says Fritz Lang. But that aside, the second half is better anyway. Start the album at 36 minutes and between 32 and 33 seconds, and it's the moment after the woman gets her candle, like she's in a cave and this hand comes out and puts out her candle and she reacts and she runs and she hits the wall. And when she hits the wall, a spotlight crosses across her chest. At the moment the spotlight crosses, that's when you start the album. So 36 minutes and 32 seconds. And it's fucking insane. So just a recommendation. Let it bees.
Yeah, there's this sort of conversation happening here, just a stupid conversation. Bill made a great point that the loose snake was St. Patrick, and then I said, stupidly, isn't Huckabees also a biblical tribe? And then I said, oh no, it's Maccabees. He laughs. I say, Paul McCartney as in Macca, and he says, let it bees. And this is a complete tangent, but I have to throw this in there. Bill, you might be the only one that actually appreciates this, but I was listening to Let It Be today and looking at the album cover, and I realized that there's something really interesting is that you have, there's four squares, right? Three of them are white, and they're all looking to the left. And
yeah, it's window pane, by the way.
Right, and you have Paul McCartney is in red, and he's looking forward. Well, you know how John Phil Ryan has this idea of INRI, like this escape hatch in the upper right-hand corner? Well, let it be or let in re. Let in...
I like it.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. King of the Jews.
INRI, which is the monogram of Dionysus as well, I think.
Yeah, it's weird.
How is that? How is that? I'm not familiar with the Dionysus with Inre.
I think I picked that up from Manly P. Hall. He said the monogram that is over Jesus' head actually comes from some cycle of Dionysus. Because isn't
really?
That INRI, that's the thing that's over...
Yeah, King of the Jews,
yeah,
right?
Initials for the... The whole Let It Be cover with McCartney, the only one in red, everyone else is in a white light. What the hell are they saying there, man?
Yeah, it's weird because people always think that the Beatles are saying stuff, but have you ever seen Magical Mystery Tour?
But if you're
it's terrible. It's fucking terrible.
There's nothing there.
But there was
there's
nothing.
Like,
that was people unassociated with the Beatles who were licensed. The characters, the likenesses, those are people.
Well, yeah, they're the fool on the hill too. I mean, that's the thing. They're like, you know, he's living there still. It's like they're not even, they don't even know what the fuck they're tapping into or what's going on. They're like Muppets, you know? They're just like the fucking Skeksis having no clue that they're part of this thing that's taking place.
Well, that's not exactly true. I mean, there's evidence of that they're definitely playing with something. Like when they have the Masonic floor and they're playing as alchemists and they use footage from 2001, A Space Odyssey. It's like
right, but they're tapping into something, and they don't care about the full depth of what's even taking place. All they're doing is like we're doing it because we have to do this, and we don't know why. It's just this is what's happening. So, you know, they know why to an extent, but I don't think that they're, they don't have to be that aware.
But I don't know. I'm going to say something unpopular. But I think all the Beatles movies are pretty fucking terrible, except for Yellow Submarine. It's a very unpopular thing to say, but I think Beatles movies, by and large, are fucking horrendous.
No, Elvis movies are tons better.
Elvis movies are clever in their subtext. Like, next level, like fucking Jailhouse Rock. Like, if you can't find a
Beatles
partner,
have this weird
chair,
British humor. It's not even funny.
No,
it's like
it's
this weird, awkward,
humor.
Trying to be awkward humor. It's like it's the Beatles movies are almost pre-psychedelic. It's like Beatles trying to be psychedelic with actually
At the time, it was trying to be avant-garde. That's what I'm saying. It's phony. It's a put-on avant-garde. It's a put-on psychedelia.
Yes.
And in their music, they actually are able to do it. So it's just whatever.
Right. The Magical Mystery Tour is a great fucking album. Are you insane? It almost ruined it because I just now watched the video just now and it was
there you go. Yeah, it's hard.
Pretty nauseating, but I mean, yeah,
do you want to
like
get on that bus? I don't know. I know it's the Beatles and everything. Okay, that was the other thing, the bus. So the bus Magical Mystery Tour bus is the opposite of sub, right. And so I was so what is the value of us in simple English gematria? I think it's 42. Isn't it?
B-S?
B-U-S. S-U-B. And so you have...
What?
U-S-B.
Is it? Check it out. I mean, I could be wrong. What's the gematria of bus in simple English? Like,
the blue bus is calling us.
Yeah, that's the thing. So you have the yellow submarine and the blue bus. And then it's a sea of green. Yellow and blue make green.
What's that whole thing about the speed of light where it's coming at you, it's yellow, and it going away, it's blue?
Okay, so you keep saying speed of light. Bill, you mentioned speed of light twice now, and I didn't want to interrupt earlier.
No, it's not the speed of light. You're talking about the blue and red shift.
Yes.
So Pink Floyd.
No, this has to do with the Beast too, though. This has to do with, because this has to do with the two pillars, and that being Gomorrah and Yassid.
My God, this is awesome. Just earlier tonight, I was thinking, Frater X wants to do this Secret War Inside Freemasonry thing, and we were talking about a cover, and I was envisioning a red pillar and a blue pillar, or like a red lodge and the blue lodge, right? That's what they call the York Rite and Scottish Rite, are the blue lodges and the red lodges, and two men sort of standing back to back, one looking to the red pillar, one looking to the blue pillar, and this sort of thing, and sort of showing how it's basically the same thing. So it's like if you're looking one way, you're getting the red shift, looking one way, it's a blue shift. This is all about perspective. But it's even Superman. Remember they fucking split Superman into two and there was Superman red, Superman blue? Does anyone remember that?
Yeah, I remember when they killed Superman and he split into five.
Yeah, they split him into five, but, and then they resurrected him. I mean, that was like they made Superman into Jesus there a little bit.
But see, all the blue and the red character is always the best-selling character. I mean, you look at Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
there's always this is the balance of the two pillars, and it's interesting too because in Kabbalah, like it, I was taught. I mean, there's so many different interpretations, but the red shift is going away, I think, and the blue shift is coming towards. And then they say that the red shift pushes, that being judgment pushes away, and Yacid pulls towards. So the blue and red shift corresponds to the Kabbalah tree of life as well.
Sure. Yeah, no. I mean, Chesed and Gevurah are, I mean, that's mercy and judgment, and the two are mutually interdependent. But yeah, there's a cycle in what dominates.
You have seen the King Kong, Peter Jackson version of King Kong?
Yeah, sure.
Peter Jackson did the Frighteners too, I think. He had either, maybe it was Robert
and you know
Zemeckis
what else
who directed
did.
It,
what was his
but
first
I think he
movie?
Produced it.
Wasn't his first movie, the movie posters, just all butterflies?
Some, I thought his first movie was that,
complex
like,
shit.
That monster movie with the lawnmowers and the blood, and it was just, like, insanity. Yeah. It's like dead...
So check out, this is the Heavenly Creatures movie poster that I'm talking about.
Have you guys seen that?
I actually have not
I
seen
have
that.
Not.
The fucking
do we have a confirmation on Jackson's first movie? Is that his first movie?
Yeah, Bad Taste was his first production.
He did Bad Taste, then Meet the Feebles, then Dead Alive,
Dead Alive is what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, I've heard about Dead
Meet
Alive.
Meet the Feebles is like a puppet movie, right?
Yeah.
But he did do The Frighteners, too, where he freezes our Michael J. Fox.
Yeah.
And then Lord of the Rings and then King Kong. But what was that? Oh, okay. So it's cool because...
The Valley.
King Kong is cool too because the guy who plays King Kong, that being Gollum from Andy Serkis, is the guy who plays Serkis. He also plays King Kong. He also plays Caesar in Planet of the Apes. The Rise
really?
Of Planet. Yeah. Yeah. And I think he's even played like some kind of monkey other than that too. It's weird because the guy who was back in Jeff Bridges, I can't remember who his name is, but he does a lot of monkeys too. The guy who did the Jeff Bridges King Kong also did the apes from Congo or something like that. It's really kind of interesting.
Hey,
but
what's
anyways,
up with all the thinks surrounding fucking apes for days and days and days and days?
I don't fucking know. But it goes even deeper because Jack Black, you know?
Uh-huh.
We have Jack Black, who plays the director in the King Kong by Jackson, but he reverses that role in Gulliver's Travels. Have you seen Gulliver's Travels yet?
I saw the Ted Danson one, but no, I haven't seen that.
Jack Black.
I also saw the Ted Danson one.
Right.
Who's actually on the Jason Schwartzman show, Bored to Death, as a pothead, too, by the way. Anyways.
Moving on.
We don't need to talk about Sam Malone.
He's also married to Mary Steenburgen, who is Doc Brown's love in Back to the Future 3.
But he reverses that role in that's a good point. He reverses that role in Gulliver's Travels because he becomes King Kong to all the Lilliputians.
Mm.
Oh, they, really?
Yeah, they even strap him down to a raft and send him to an island that is covered by fog, just like King Kong's Skull Island is. And on that island, Jack Black discovers that everybody there is giants. So then he reverses the role again. What's even weirder, though, is the Lilliputians are at war with their little counterparts. One army is all red. The other army is all blue.
Ooh. Okay.
And it's a shitty fucking movie, but it's there. And, of course, then you have Kung Fu Panda with Jack Black again, where he looks in the mirror that Alan pointed out to me is a good – because the mirror is always around this whole the Beast thing. And, of course, his lead in that is – the person who leads him to become the Dragon Warrior in Kung Fu Panda is Dustin Hoffman, the same person from I Heart Huckabees.
Mm.
Right.
Mm, nice.
And then on 2001, but for some reason, this Beauty and the Beast thing all centers around September 11th because of the two pillars coming down. But Jack Black was in the movie Shallow Hal that had to do with seeing Beauty and the Beast.
Yep, Shallow Hal 9000.
Exactly, 2001.
Right.
Because and that's the Shallow Hal came out in 2001.
So there's a section in I've talked a number of times on this show about Norman L. Brown's Life Against Death as like a kind of a cornerstone of a book on psychology that reconciles a lot of the Freudian ideals and the Jungian ideals into this really cohesive way. There's a chapter in there all about Gulliver's Travels, where they psychoanalyze Gulliver's Travels to this insane degree and show the argument for the writer's intention having to do with anality and repression. And so I think it might be interesting to peruse that and then look at the Jack Black thing again and kind of like to create an interesting lens from which to analyze it. Because I think that that's...
Analyze.
That book had a really big impact on like psychology. Like it's considered an important work, and so I would imagine that if anybody was going to approach Gulliver's Travels, they'd probably look at that. I mean, I would think.
It's a shitty movie. The new one is, at least.
Is that a pun?
I don't.
It's weird.
Oh, it's another thing. Before
in
I forget,
Clockwork
I'm sorry.
Orange, doesn't Alex call his stomach his Gulliver?
Yeah, so not that well in the gully today or the Gulliver today. Yeah, I think so.
So here you have a connection to the stomach. We have this sort of root chakra sort of connection, or this. Do you get what I'm saying? Like this idea. Again, this connection to the intestines, the stomach, the anus.
Sure. Yeah. Alex in Wonderland.
Yeah.
Alex in Underland. Huh. Okay. Weird.
Not feeling too good in the Gulliver today. I was riding the gravy train.
Wish you were there.
the wavy gravy train.
That's why Hal sings Daisy Chain.
Remembering
that's
games
weird too.
Last, got to keep the loonies on the path, and he sings Daisy.
The weirdest thing to me is when he says, when Hal goes, I was when he first came online was 1992, which was the beginning of the internet.
Which I love is because the first year I ever went to Urbana-Champaign was in 1992.
Yeah, Urbana, Illinois is where IBM started. The first computer was built by IBM, and so that's why when the argument that... Because I think that the reason is that fucking Arthur C. Clarke was not let in on a lot of the stuff going on. And that's why, like, when you look at Arthur C. Clarke's book on 2001, the Behind the 2001 book, he says, you know, I have about one person a week point out to me, like, he's the first person that H-A-L is one, or each one letter removed from IBM.
Right.
And I have to tell them that was just a happy coincidence. Though we were gifted a special computer by, I believe he says, by IBM.
Right.
And coincidentally, if you program what the chances of that are, then he gives the actual probability for that happening on its own. And but the thing is like, I think that was Kubrick. Like, come on, dude. Like, it flashes back and forth, IBM on the screen, on his face, while he says, Hal, open the door. Hal, do you read me, Hal? Hal, do you read me? Like, what the fuck? Just saying.
So there's...
I like the way that there's the Hal is a red eye and Sal, isn't it Sal? And in 2010,
yes.
It was
a blue eye. So, okay, David, if you're syncing with Metropolis right now, have you ever seen the animated Metropolis?
No, but that came up and I was curious about it. Have you?
Oh, God, it's amazing. And I've written about it on an old Mask of God post. I wrote about it, but basically... You have to watch that. She has basically, you know, the robotic woman, the you know, whore of Babylon, whatever you want to consider her, right?
Right.
The programmed person. She is in the animated one. She has a big red Hal eye. At some point, her fleshy part gets burned off, and you see this giant red eye, and. I did this whole write-up comparing her to Hal and all this sort of stuff. but I really think you'd enjoy it. And it's just also just an amazing movie. It's really, really
good. Yeah,
well
okay.
Done.
Yeah, I was gonna put it on our Netflix, but then I wasn't sure because it's not all Japanimes are good, even you know. So,
it's,
yeah,
it's incredible.
Cool. All right,
Metropolis
awesome.
Is like the 1930s or whatever movie that's kind of
shows,
yeah, the 1920s, 30s, which is like almost it's silent, isn't it? And then it has the Metropolis chick, the Babylon lady.
Yeah, which is why when you look at the Fame Monster, she's got her mouth covered for one, right. And then her hair is totally modeling the headdress of the woman in Metropolis. And the reason why her face is covered, because it's a silent film for one, and she's keeping quiet. She's practicing silence, like it's there's a secret. Very clever. So, yep.
That's fucking bananas, and I don't mean that as a pun, but it works.
So, Will, a long time ago, you and I had a conversation about when Hal came online, and he says, I came online in 1992 or whatever it is. We had this conversation where it was like lining up when Skynet went online in the Terminator right. series, when right. Hal comes online, and something else.
The real internet was 92. So T2 came out in 91, where we were introduced to Skynet.
Which also has the red eye, by the way, the single
absolutely.
Red eye when he gets
yeah.
half his face right. torn off. Yeah, okay, go on.
Well, yeah. But
there's,
I mean,
there's three things. There was like Skynet, Hal, and something else, which
the real internet. The real internet is Hal. Because the internet is, although if you look it up on the internet, the date for the internet is a little bit vague, but most lie right on 1992. So T2 came out. I mean, it seems almost mundane now, but it's all related to this convergence of man and machine. And then it leads up to 2001. But this whole Beauty and the Beast, the Beauty and the Beast leads to the baby of the Beast, or the Star Child, or David Bowman being DB. Jupiter is the baby of the Beast.
Right. That's the whole thing with the babe. So you have the babe of Babylon, right? But then it's Gaga, Goo Goo Gaga. It's Babylon. Babylon is
Babylon.
The baby of Horus the Younger in 2001.
Right.
Or I like to take it as the baby lion, going back to your strength card.
And then if you go back to 1968, 69, because, you know, King Kong's obsessed with the moon, you have Planet of the Apes come out, you have 2001 come out, and in the same year, the time frame, you have Rosemary's Baby. And all of those are combined to make a single narrative. Or at least they somehow manipulated the mindset of that time period. So you have these monkeys making it to the moon, which is what King Kong and what Planet of the Apes is about, and what 2000 A Space Odyssey is about, because the alien artifact is TMA, or is it TMA? The magnetic disturbance that they find on the moon is put mm-hmm. there by an alien presence because they were waiting for them to get to the moon. It has to do with these flying monkeys from Oz getting to the moon. And then once they get to the moon, they get to Jupiter through the Jupiter link or whatever. But it's interesting because you have all of these happening at one time. And I think Michael Claylin on your podcast talked about the relationship between Planet of the Apes and in 2001. But you need to take it a step further because he was talking about that baby being born. That baby being born is Rosemary's Baby. And even Rosemary's best friend in the movie, you know, Rosemary's Baby, her doctor friend that helps her out is the main orangutan from Planet of the Apes.
You're fucking kidding me.
Is
really?
That true?
Yes, that is true.
Not Dr. Zaius.
Not the bad doctor, the good doctor. Her friend that she talks to. Rosemary's
Baby. I know you're
baby.
Well, you're saying that, but you're saying that doctor plays an orangutan in Planet of the Apes. Is it Dr. Zaius that he plays? That's all I'm asking.
The orangutan who's trying to... Not the Roddy McDowall character, but I don't know if what the bad orangutan's name is.
Dr. Zaius is a bad orangutan. That's why I'm wondering, because that would be weird if it was another doctor. Find out. Dr. Zeus.
The doctor in Rosemary's Baby's name is Dr. Lang, isn't it? Am I wrong?
Rosemary, yeah, Woodhouse, think, Guy Woodhouse.
I haven't watched Found in so long.
Roman. Maurice Evans. His name is Hutch. It might not be a doctor. But yeah, he's in Planet of the Apes.
Okay,
and beneath the Planet of the Apes.
Beneath the Planet of the Apes.
No, he's in Planet of the Apes and beneath. He's Dr. Zaius, yes. Is Hutch.
Dr. Zaius?
Yeah.
The guy who's the doctor of Rosemary's Baby is no. Dr. Zaius.
No, he's saying Hutch. The guy she confides in who gets killed.
Her best friend is Dr. Zaius. Rosemary's best friend is Dr. Zaius.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
That's fucking crazy.
Let's verify that.
And not only that, but the teeth at the same time. Look, okay. Look. In 1968, he's involved in three different things. Well, actually, four different things, but one we can throw away because it's this FBI TV series. He's involved in Planet of the Apes as Dr. Zaius. He's invested in Tarzan, the TV series. And he's invested in Rosemary's Baby. All would have heavy chimpanzee influence.
Dude.
Connotation.
So my first blog that I ever put up, my first like slew of consciousness shit, it ends with a picture of Dr. Zaius. And I'm like, Dr. Zeus, he knew all along. But that like I felt like for so long that Dr. Zaius is like this super significant figure and I didn't know why. Like, I've had that for, like, a long time, for, like, the last, like, 4 years or something. That's weird.
And so, the baby is the
Can
same baby.
Can I ask a stupid question? Can I ask, like, a really stupid pop culture question that I could probably just Google myself? But before, when you were talking about Hancock, and you Graham Hancock, and you kept saying Hancock, and I was thinking of Will Smith. Was right. it Will and Smith Charlie also Stairmont. In a movie called Hutch?
Hitch.
Oh, Hitch.
Hitch.
Fuck. Never mind.
Yeah, and then there's Turner.
No, but that's significant because of the two H's. It's significant. Here, I'll show you how it's significant. Okay, so we have this creation in 1968 and 69 is the landing on the moon and the creation or the beginning of the WTC. So when Planet of the Apes is being made, when 2001 is being made, when Rosemary's Baby is being made, and if you look at Rosemary's Baby, it shows a view of the skyline of New York with no Twin Towers because that's when the ground was being broken. So in 1999, you had this resurrection or this fear that Y2K was going to happen. You had two particular movies, that of course being End of Days with Arnold from T2 and Robin Tunney, who Jake's done a lot of work with. But you also had The Astronaut's Wife, which actually claims to be the Rosemary's Baby of the 90s. And they have to...
And
the star
bear in mind, because when you were saying earlier about the internet and everything coming online around 1992, bear in mind the first World Trade Center bombing is 1993. So in 1993, you have this foreshadowing of 2001.
The web goes online, and then there's
exactly.
an immediate attack on the Twin Towers, or the pillars.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So you have Charlize Theron, an astronaut's wife, with Johnny Depp, where this
Johnny
baby...
Depp, yeah.
Well, it's twins that are actually born, and it's the twins that we most commonly know from Big Daddy, which is significant because of the word big, but we won't get into that. I mean, Big Bang, so forth and so on.
Uh-huh.
But anyways, King Kong's big. So you have Astronaut's Wife, you have The End of Days. Both are saying something's coming in 2000, but both also highlight the Twin Towers. And then once you have 2001 come around, you have the remake of Planet of the Apes with Marky Mark. And then you have all of this other stuff. There's like a connection between this baby being born, which Clayland says is the baby of this higher intelligence or so forth. But the pregnancy happens, and then the veil is broken, and then the towers come down, and then like this savior baby is born, or the divine invasion happens.
Yeah, this is the Beau's son.
Ooh, dude, Saperstein. Saperstein is fucking sapphire. It's Sphero. It's the same place. It's stone. So the doctor's name is Rosemary's baby. It's a fucking Sphero.
Yeah, he said it's sapphire stone, right? Steam,
yeah, but sapphire is the same root as Sphero, as the nodes of the tree of life, the joints of the tree of life.
But the
I just never noticed that. I've heard that. It's Abraham Saperstein or Saperstein.
The S-T-E-I-N means stone, does it not? Is
that
the German S-T-E-I-N means stone?
Yeah.
So S-A-P-I-R. Right, would be like
it's a Jewish compound of sapphire, which is spherot, and stone. It's a stone dude, and then he's fucking killed. I'm sorry to interrupt, but that's like total fucking it's huge. And then he's fucking Dr. Zaius, the guy who's like getting
Zaius is Hutch, who is Rosemary's friend, who is Evans. Ralph Bellamy is Abraham Saperstein, who is the doctor who is trying to convince Rosemary to bring the devil child to term.
Right. Yeah, but Mort Evans is Dr. Zaius.
Well, yeah, Ralph Bellamy is Saperstein, Evans is Zaius, Evans is Hutch.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying. There's no difference there. Morris Evans is fucking Dr. Zaius, and he's Abraham Saperstein.
No. He's Dr.
He's
Zaius,
Hutch.
And he's Hutch. Hutch.
Dr. Zaius is Hutch. Saperstein is Bellamy.
Different actor.
Totally different actor.
Grodin is like the friendlier doctor, the second opinion doctor.
But you call the doctor in Rosemary's Baby.
No.
He's not the first. He's the
I don't know the last.
I screwed up by saying doctor. I confused you because I said doctor, but he's not the doctor. He's her best friend. Rosemary's
like a journalist or something. Like he's
I thought her friend was a doctor. I'm confused.
I think he, like I said, I think he's like a journalist or he does something like that.
I don't know. All I know is that he's helping her out, but he has he carries the prestige of a doctor.
Like, remember, like they steal his glove, and Hutch's glove gets stolen, and then he ends up dead.
Yeah. And he's the one who gives her the book, right?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
O.J. Simpson glove.
Yeah, Darth Vader's glove. But like, seriously,
It's more subtle. But Saperstein being the Sephiroth is interesting to me.
Yeah, it's still interesting nonetheless. It's just like that's something that I never noticed. I mean, when you look at when she marks the calendar on the movie, she like does this thing where it's the 4th and the 5th of the month in red that she marks, and then the next page behind it she writes blood and how 4th and 5th, 45 is the value of Adam, and Adam literally means Aleph in blood. The Dom means blood. She writes blood. Like, that is like a direct, I mean, obviously, like, that's what they're showing is that it's Kabbalistic. But if there was any question, they'd give it to you right there. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah.
Crazy.
It's totally crazy. So, okay. And then he's in Morris Evans is in Bewitched. He's Father Maurice in Bewitched.
Jack of Diamonds.
So the guy who's Dr. Zaius is fucking Maurice in Bewitched.
And the guy who is Dr. Zaius is the Jack of Diamonds, and Jack Black is...
Jack.
We have the Black Jack and the Jack of Diamonds.
Yeah, and so he's also in his first movie is The Path of Glory, which can't help but remind me of Paths of Glory. And if you remember was pointed out with Paths of Glory being taken to be the pathways between the Sphero,
absolutely,
or with the Sphero, the 32 pathways. So that's interesting. Weird.
Of course, that card, that strength card, goes between the two pillars. It's what conjoins the pillars.
Yeah, where does strength appear in like the Paul Foster case setup? Let me see.
I think he does the same, because I was actually just looking at this yesterday for another reason. But I think Case still keeps it there. Or does he move it to 11? Hey, here's something, right? There's obviously 22 trumps of the tarot, but if you do, like, there's 0, and then we go up to 21, so technically 21 is the highest. That's blackjack. Anything over 21 is bust.
Blackjack.
Nice. And then that's also the one-eye jack, right? Isn't there? So there's
that's
a
the jack
one-eye
diamond.
Jack and suicide kings, right? Okay. So actually, yeah, totally. So strength is the pathway between Gevurah and Chesed. That's
right.
Fucking far out.
Exactly.
So yeah.
It's the
Samson.
It's the destroyer of the two pillars.
Yeah. So it's also like Samson, who gets his hair cut by Delilah, right? He brings down the temple, which is basically strength. And so I was just talking about this with my rabbi earlier today, actually. I was tripping out on the fact that there's a link between the pillars that's being made, of the pillars of the temple, and waters of the Red Sea, which is where you get the 216 number. And so the force that holds the waters up is the severity, is the Gevurah. And so you have the value of Gevurah is the same as the name of God that's derived from those verses. And so when the waters collapse on the Egyptians, there's a link between that and Samson taking down the temple by taking down the two pillars. And so when you apply that to the two towers, you have the same thing being expressed.
Which, by the way, if those two pillars are also, you have Samson who tears down those pillars, but there's also the Hercules. If you look at Arnold right. Schwarzenegger's movie poster right. to Hercules in New York, he's grabbing the Twin Towers as the pillars of Hercules.
Right.
It's too much.
So you go into Twins, like it's, with you're Danny essentially DeVito making this, and
oh, we don't have to go that road. I'm just saying, like, to say it gets pretty almost literal, like when
yeah.
You know, well, this idea of these two towers coming down. Hercules,
he's always
a sort of version of Samson. And the idea of this becoming the sort of, you know, middle pillar, the one world. It's just fucking gets crazy after a while.
Well, see, the lightning bolt is always associated with Zeus, Jack, you know, and all of that.
The lightning
noise,
bolt.
It's also what goes between the pillars.
Yeah, well, think about it. The lightning bolt totals to either 777 or it totals to 93. When did the World Trade Center get bombed? In 93. What is the airplane that crashes into it? Flights,
93.
You know, well, Flight 93 actually goes down in Pennsylvania.
The sum of the two pillars is 93. So it's,
yes.
Once again, it's the pulling together of the two pillars.
But it's just fucking crazy. And there's
it's
something,
bananas.
This is something that I might have mentioned to you guys before, but there's just a really interesting, Bill, I know you got into, you're doing a bit of study into John Dee, is that correct?
That's right.
Well, there was, after the 1993 bombing of the World Trade Center, and again, so we'll say 93, right? This is the number of the dilemma. There is a fountain, a memorial fountain for the people who died in the 93 bombing. And then in 2001, the buildings fall and basically crumble the fucking fountain. So that memorial fountain is destroyed. But one piece of that fountain was recovered. The guy, so like there was 6 people who died in 1993, and the guy's name was something like John D'Amico or something. But the only piece that they were able to salvage says John D.
Get the fuck out of here.
No.
What,
it's
dude?
Fucking
double 007?
Yes.
That's crazy.
Just so fucked because that's just not even really appropriate to say mixed company. It's just
who said
present company excluded.
Mixed company. It's just me, Bill.
Look who's coming to dinner,
up.
Dude.
Oh
Because, you know, when I've been tracking the whole Giordano Bruno thing with Bruce Willis, he's the return of Bruno. He's got the song 007 is back, and it's this whole John D., Giordano Bruno, Rosicrucian lineage. And I'm tracking this, and then the Pope retires, and the next thing you see that day is Bruce Willis pouncing onto David Letterman's set with the Pope hat on. You know, it's like... Return of Bruno, and he's the Pope, and he's on Letterman's late night show, and it's like, God, could you really, and you know where Bruce Willis is born? He's born in Germany. He's born in the fucking exact geographical location where John D. traveled and Giordano Bruno essentially rallied up the magicians.
Okay, I just verified the guy's name. The guy who died in the 93 bombing, his name is John D. Giovanni.
And of course he was aged 45,
yeah.
Which is a dom all right. In blood.
So a recovered fragment from the 1993 bombing with the text John D. from bombing victim John D. Giovanni was later incorporated into a temporary memorial design, blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
God.
And the Higgs boson drops its little baby head on 314. Yeah, fuck.
They had to have done that on purpose,
right? Because it's, if you really get the American time code, it's 3/14/2013, and pi rounded to a thousandth is 3.142. And you get your 3142, you get your whole Trinity-Jupiter union, and it's right there. I mean, that's just like...
obnoxious.
Yeah. Yeah, right?
So check this out. At the National 9/11 Memorial, the six victims of the 1993 bombing are memorialized at the North Pool on panel N73. So here we have our, you could take 73 as either being 777, or there's the fact that you know where the Dakota Building is in New York, is on, it's between 72nd and 73rd Streets.
Ooh. It's, yep.
So the, like, the side where John Lennon got shot is actually on 72nd Street, but just saying.